If you turn in your scripture to Hebrews 11, we have just begun a series on the patriarchs, and the whole premise is they had faith in God, so God shaped their lives. If we have the same faith in God, He's the same God, God will shape our lives. And tonight we're going to look, or begin to look, at the life of Abraham. And I just want to entitle this, From Call to Completion. God had a plan for Abraham's life. God worked in Abraham's life from his call of Abraham until he completed that plan for Abram's life. Right before we get started, you know, I heard this advice again this week. I heard, you know, this is given in things from business to romance to whatever, education decisions. But I heard someone give the advice, just follow your heart. That scares me every time I hear it, because the scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things. Now, if that was in the context of somebody seeking God and reading through the scriptures and seeking truth, and then you say follow your heart, that's a different thing. But that's not what people mean. Without seeking God, without scriptures, without godly input, they're just going to follow the inclinations and the impulses of their heart. That's a frightening thing. You know, think from way back from the young people, or when you were young on. I mean, in life, you don't know really what you want to be. You don't really know what you want to do with your life. You don't know whom you want to marry, all these other decisions. You don't know any of that. And to leave that with just the inclinations and impulses of your heart, how's that going to turn out? What's that going to look like 30, 40, 50 years from now? But I've got a better thing. Instead of follow your heart, let God shape your life. Let God mold your life. And here's the thing we're going to learn, and it's all through Scripture. God changes people through encounter and response. God sets up an encounter. People encounter God, and when they respond to that encountering, something changes in their life. They are shaped. Let me just say it this way. God never leaves someone the same. When somebody encounters God, they're never left the same. And the change isn't just in them, but the effects go on to those in their life. When God changes a person, it makes a difference in the people around them. That's what we're going to see in the life of Abraham. Now, I could read you the story from Genesis 12 tonight. I'm not going to. I'm going to read a summation of it from the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. This is our text tonight. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Encounter, he was called. Response, he obeyed. And he went out. Therefore, God shaped his life. Let me tell you this tale and how it happened. Abraham, or Abram, as he was called at that time, was a resident of Ur. Now, Ur, at that time, was probably 65,000 inhabitants. You said that doesn't seem like much. Well, 65,000 inhabitants would have made Ur the largest city of the world at that time. You know, sometimes we think of these Bible characters of being very primitive. But you got to understand this about the city of Ur. A lot of archaeological digs have happened there. And by the way, it would be in modern day Iraq. Tigris, Euphrates River. The archaeological digs have uncovered whole libraries, cuneiform libraries. They have architectural structures and wonders. They call them ziggurats. The ziggurats is kind of like a pyramid with huge steps on it. Not only that, this is interesting. It doesn't seem so at first, but they had irrigation canals and with locks and doors, and they had used an equivalent to trigonometry to figure out water volume and flow and waterfall. I mean, I'm just telling you, it was a very complex city and society. But the sad side of it is it was not a city committed to the worship of the true God. It was a city of idolatry, worship of many gods, in particular the god Sin, or it's spelled like sin, but the god Sin, which was the moon god. And I'm sharing all this because this was Abraham's home. He was born in Ur. He was steeped in the culture of Ur. Did you know even Abram, his name, Sarah, Laban, Terah, his dad, Haran, his brother? Did you know all of these names are names derived from idols? This was a family of idolatry. Some people tried to protect Abraham from that and said, well he never worshipped idols. But in Joshua 14:2, if the reference is coming to me correctly, I know the scriptures, this is true of the scripture, but it says in Joshua, speaking to the children of Israel, your fathers worshipped other gods before they came to Canaan. And so it's clear that these were idol worships. Worshippers. And so here's Abram. He's been born in Ur. He's been raised in Ur. He's been married there. He matured there. And he's already lived a long life. He's 75 years old. He's 10 years into Social Security. For 10 years, he's got Social Security checks. And all of a sudden, the true God spoke to him. You know, there is a contrast. All those many idols, but the true God spoke to Abraham. Elohim, later called Jehovah, spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, pack your bags. You're moving. You're going to move out of this house. You're going to move out of this city. You're going to move out of this country. And I'm moving you to another place. And God never told him where he was moving. You know what's more surprising than God speaking to Abraham? It's that Abraham responded, heeded the call, and obeyed it. A man in idolatry, a man in an idolatrous culture, he responded. We don't have any record that God had ever spoken to Abraham prior to this time. This was it. And Abraham, this is a surprising thing. You know, I don't want to be facetious here, but we have people that know about God, know about truth, and God attempts to speak to them week after week, service after service, and they don't even hear him. They don't even pay attention. But here's a man in this kind of culture. God speaks, and he just says, okay, God, I'll do it. That's faith. No wonder his life was shaped. So that's the tale. Let's pull some truths out of this. I want us to think about this. And the first truth I want to pull out is God always takes the initiative with us humans. He takes the initiative. You know, this is kind of a fun thing. Talk to married couples and ask them who made the first move in their relationship. You'll always get some interesting story. Who made the first move? I mean, you know, with us, I was already teaching. My wife was a student. I'd come out of the class where I'd been teaching, and she would be standing there in the hallway waiting on me day after day till she wore me down. So, now she'll tell a little different story, and that's kind of how it works. She said, well, my next class was in that classroom. Yes, but there was chapel in between. Anyway. Here's the thing. With humans, God always makes the first move. Look at this with Abraham. There's no indication Abraham was seeking the true God. Or Abram, I should say. There's no indication that even Abram was even particularly good or particularly interested in truth. And yet, not seeking God, God reached out to Abraham. God took the initiative and spoke to him. You know, we were singing about grace. You know, we used to be more astute to theology than we are now, but they used to talk about prevenient grace. Everybody just basically understood that. And what prevenient grace is simply what I'm preaching. God always makes the first move. Abraham might have had an emptiness. Abraham might have been seeking fulfillment and purpose, just like the people of the world. They don't know they're seeking God, and in a sense they are. But it's always God that has made the first move. And I'll tell you something else. If somebody seems like they're seeking God before God gets a hold of them, it's God to put the seek in them. Amen. You know, today's society says, you know, when you look at human history, there's no real God. Humans just have made up God to fit their desires or to fit their quest and their intent. So there's no real God. Humans just made up. Now, I want to tell you, in some cases, humans did make up their gods. That's idols. But Abraham didn't make up this God because he didn't even know he existed. God took the initiative. Here's the second truth. Before I get to the second truth, let me just say, that's what grace is. If you're here tonight as a Christian, you know, you can't really say, well, I'm a Christian because of me. You can't do that because nobody becomes a Christian on their own initiative. God calls. And could I tell you the greatest call is the call of God of salvation. Amen. So here's the second truth tonight. A person's environment and home does not keep God from speaking to him. A person's environment or home does not keep God from speaking to him. Again, just to make the point, Abraham was living in the most pagan, idolatrous, ignorant of the true God society, and yet God talked to him and called him. Aren't you glad for that? We can think of communities around here where folks really don't know the Lord, and people who live in homes where you think, how in the world, in that darkness, could they ever be saved? But the environment a person lives in does not limit God from speaking to them. Here's another truth. God's call has always been and will always be to leave this world. Come out of Ur. Now listen, this call of Abraham, leave Ur, leave your home, leave your family, leave your country. Too many people have taken that like a call to missions. And that's all they preach from this. You know, God may want to call you away from your home, away from your church, away from your family, away from your country to missions. And that has happened and it does happen. But I want to tell you, that's not really what this call is all about. If it were, it would apply to very few people. But the call of Abraham applies to all of us. It wasn't a call to missions. That's, of course, that's an extenuated purpose, extension of this. But the purpose of calling Abraham out of Ur was to get him out of that idolatrous environment where God could shape him. The call of God is to leave this world. It's not a call to isolate and separate and disconnect from society. People like to live in communes and all of that. It's not that. God doesn't want us to go to Idaho and find some acreage on the backside of the mountain and isolate ourselves, because if we did, we couldn't reach this world. We couldn't be light for Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed that we should not be taken out of this world, but that we should be kept from this world. He said, I want my disciples to be in the world, but not of the world. So what is this call to leave the world? It's a call to leave the carnal society. It's a call to leave the fleshly culture. It's a call to leave what is godless in our society. You know, this culture is a funny thing because some of our culture is just American. And it's all right to be American. Some of our culture is just Western. It's okay to be Western. But some of our culture is just downright sinful and ungodly and carnal and wicked. And the call of God is still to call us out of the wickedness of our culture. I wish a lot of folks would get a hold of that. That's what his call is about. Leave Ur. Amen. It's a call of salvation, but how can you truly be saved and stay in your sin and in your wickedness? It's a call out. You see, before God could shape Abraham, Abraham had to first quit worshiping, seeing the moon god. Amen. Abraham had to leave those practices. And to be truly saved, you cannot simply add God to your life. You know, if Abram was like so many quote-unquote Christians today, he would have said, well, God, you're talking to me? That's fine. I got all these gods already I worship, and one more won't hurt anything. God, I'll just add you on to the pantheon. I'll just put you in there with the rest. It's never been that way with God. You don't add God on. You leave the rest of it and take up completely with God. So it's a call to leave Ur. And then here's another truth, this call of Abraham. God cannot shape one's life if he's a part of the godless culture. I promise you, if you are involved in the carnality of this world, in the ways of the world, you are not becoming what God wants you to be. It's impossible. You cannot be enmeshed in this world and being shaped into what God would have you to be. How many knows we're just clay? Every one of us, we're just clay. Body, soul, and spirit, we're just clay. And something or the other will shape our lives. And if we've not come out of this world, the thing that will shape our lives is its trends, its fashions, the way it thinks. That can shape our lives. Or God can shape our lives. But the point is, something is shaping our lives. I think one of the most harmful things to Christians in the church today is when people are not allowed, or not, excuse me, are not required to leave Ur, and yet they're allowed to be involved in all kinds of ministries. You can stay in Ur and have a ministry. They're missing the point. You'll never be what God wants you to be till you leave Ur. Come out of Ur. Leave that behind. It's a call to leave not only the world, it's a call to leave your old life. That's what Ur was. It was his old life, 75 years of it. Leave your old life. Leave your identity. Here's another truth. God's call has no effect unless one responds with faith. And you know there's faith when it's expressed by obedience. Let's look at this simple text tonight. By faith, Abraham, when he's called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance. What if it just stopped there? We'd have no story of Abraham. We'd have no nation of Israel. We'd have no Christ. Well, God called, yeah, but if that's all there was, that God called him, we wouldn't have the story. It took something else. It took not just the call of God, it took the response of Abraham. He had to believe. I mean, again, he's never heard this God before. Leave everything. That takes faith. Somebody in the testimony mentioned trusting in the Lord. That takes faith. He didn't, you know, we're at a real advantage over people like Abraham. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Abraham didn't have the story of Abraham. And he just believed. How do I know he believed? Because he did what God told him to do. He obeyed. He went out. Look at the amazing thing. He didn't even know where he was going. Did you know Abram ended up traveling nearly 1,000 miles till he finally got to the place where God wanted him? That's a long ways by foot and through deserts. He didn't know where he's going, but God did. I would venture when you begin to follow God, you won't know where you're going, but God knows where he's taking you. Amen. Amen. He didn't know how to get